It is the Chris and Amy show. Well, without
that's hit in the air to right field, and that's deep, and it's gone. A big fly for Jimmy Crooks. His first hit in the big leagues is a big fly here at Great American Ballpark, and the Cardinals are within one. A 3-2 pitch, and he hammered it.
That was a big fly by Jimmy Crooks, the Cardinal rookie catcher.
Yeah.
He's one of five catchers, I think, that have, are on this roster. It's pretty amazing.
It's a big fly.
It was a big fly.
And, you know, we got a big guest joining us right now.
Indeed, we do.
Is there any bigger guest in KMOX right now than the next person we're going to talk to?
Well, he's Matt Pauly. And do we have an intro for Matt? Don't we have an intro for Matt Pauly? Hey, Pauly, give me the whatever. James is looking
hey,
for the...
Hey, Pauly, what are you doing?
That's enough.
Can't you talk baseball?
Yeah, that's enough of that. Hey, Matt Pauly, are you there?
We're off to a great start here.
Yeah. Buddy, this is seamless. We like to...
Live radio on a holiday, man.
We like to, you know, we like to show up on the holidays because nobody else does, and here we are. And you doing extra, over and above the call of duty. By joining us here on KMOX on the Chris and Amy show, neither of which are here today. But Matt, Cardinals have taken two out of three of the last two series. That's good news.
Yeah, they're probably not playing for a whole lot at this point in time. But it's good to see this is a team that it sounds cliche, but they haven't given up. They're continuing to put out pretty good efforts. There are times where pitching just is not giving them the opportunity. We saw a little bit of that yesterday, but I think it is a good sign that they're able to go out. Now, they just took 2-3 from the Reds. Before that, they split that four-game series against
the
Pirates. But, yeah, they had won three in a row before yesterday, so that's good to see.
Yeah, and the A's are in town. That game is at 1:15 today, 12:20 for the pregame show here on KMOX. Jimmy Crooks, the rookie catcher, his first hit yesterday was a home run. Highly touted rookie in the Cardinals system, one of our top prospects. Cardinals have a log jam at the catching position. Pedro Pages in the month of August has been entirely respectable in the way he's handled himself. Cardinals have something of a catching glut going into next season.
Yeah, and that's not a terrible thing. Derek Gould wrote something about Pedro Páez and some adjustments that he had made. Actually, Thomas Ajayi, according to Derek's story, which you can read in the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, Thomas Ajayi had seen him in the minor leagues and basically said, hey, why aren't you doing this anymore? And he started doing it, and then here in the month of August, he's really been hitting. He's one of the top hitters in all of Major League Baseball. We'll see whether or not this lasts or not. Páez has never been really a guy who's been known for his bat. He's always been a defense-first catcher. But to your point, they have so much coming from behind them. You got to figure out now what you have with Jimmy Crooks. And when I say now, I mean this season and next season, because Leonardo Bernal is going to be right behind him. And then Ronald Rodriguez, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, is behind him. So they've got a lot of catching depth right now. I probably would just completely stay away from Ivan Herrera ever being a catcher again. He hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy, so I would just rather see him be a DH, and he can play a little bit of left field on occasion, and you go forward. And this isn't anything against Joel Pozo, but Pozo had really, really cooled down here recently. His numbers in the month of August, he was hitting like 130, I think it was, somewhere around there. So this is a really great opportunity to get Jimmy Crooks into the big leagues and start to see what exactly you have in him, because I still think there's a little bit of question. He is the number six prospect in the organization, but there's still some question. Is this guy a kind of guy who can be a top-line catcher, or is this somebody who projects out to be a major league backup? You can start to find that out right away.
Well, I'm not sure they've announced the lineup today to know who is going to be catching, but whoever the catcher is will be catching Sonny Gray today. That's always a good day for the Cardinals.
More often than not, it is, for sure. He's the guy who gives you the best chance to win. He's had a couple moments here as the season has went along that he had a 7.81 ERA in the month of July. But his month of August, this is very normal for him. He historically struggles in July and then comes back out and has a solid August, and that's what he's having right now. He's got a sub 3.5 ERA in the month of August. Of his five starts, four of them have been pretty good, and I still think there's a lot of questions about him moving forward. Is he somebody that's still 100% totally committed to being with the Cardinals, or if they went to him again in the offseason and said, hey, are you willing to get moved to a contender? I think there might be an opportunity that he would now say yes to that. I'm not sure, but at least for today, it's good to see Sonny Gray on the mound.
I've been really interested in the back end of the bullpen since the trade deadline. Ryan Helsley moves on. He's been horrible for the Mets. They're not using him as a closer. And perhaps that mentally that's part of it. Steven Matt's been pretty good for Boston. Phil Maton's moved on. But they've been replaced in the back end. Jojo Romero's been there all season. But between Kyle Leahy and Matt Swanson and Riley O'Brien, who's been hurt of late, you know, the Cardinals really, at least on the back end of the bullpen, haven't lacked much since that trade deadline.
No, they haven't, and it's been fun to see, and there's a lot of guys there that have very exciting arms. I'm really disappointed in the news that we've gotten over the last day or so that O'Brien may end up on the injured list, because that's always been something that he has struggled with, just the ability to stay healthy, and the way he has pitched all of a sudden started to create a scenario where you're thinking, hey, this guy might be somebody that you can, as you're looking to see who might be the closer next season, O'Brien could be in that conversation. Well, does that conversation change a little bit because he continues to not show the ability to stay healthy? I don't know. I just that's something that you do have to think about. Matt Swanson's been the guy for me who I've just been most excited about and most pleased with his performance. He is somebody who's pitching at a really high level, who's coming into games in tough spots, who's coming up with big strikeouts when he needs them. And yeah, there's some other guys in there as well. You know, Andre Granillo is somebody who's been fun to watch develop a little bit. He hasn't been quite as good here recently. Gordon Graceffo's had his moments this year. Even Ryan Fernandez the other day, as much as Fernandez has struggled all season long, he was able to go out and throw a scoreless inning when they needed him to, in a save situation where a couple guys were down. You know, Kyle Leahy's been there all year long. He's done a really, really nice job. I still think his long-term future might be as a starter, but it's been good to see what he can do. You mentioned Jojo Romero. He's the guy who's getting a lot of the opportunities to save games right now. So, yeah, no, I do think one area where the organization is now lacking a bit because of this is that Memphis shuttle doesn't have the depth. Earlier this year when it was the Matt Swansons of the world that were going up and down, well, now they've got secure jobs on the Major League roster. So you're looking to see who else is going to be on that list of guys who can go up and down a little bit, and it feels like that's where maybe the team's been impacted by the trades because they just don't have that depth.
Well, we're clearly in the middle of a retool slash rebuild. Next year doesn't look particularly bright at this point. Bullpen arms, you know, are fickle. They come and go. Guys have good years. You think about a Hennessy Cabrera a few years ago, or Gallegos, who was really hot for a while and then dissipated. And that's the nature of the bullpen. But the starting pitching, looking ahead, I mean, you know, you've got McGreevy, maybe Sonny Gray stays. You've got Libertor, who's been shaky as of late, and then Pallante, who's been awful as of late. And Michaelis is gone. The Cardinals, as we look ahead, if they don't add in the offseason, they're going to potentially have a tough time putting a solid five-man rotation together, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the number one red flag when you look to next season. So even if you have – and I think Matthew Liberatore is going to be fine. I think what we're seeing right now is just the case of a guy who's never been pushed this hard, kind of hitting a wall at the end of the season. And right now the number one goal for Liberatore is for him to try to find a way to make it through the season, continue to pitch every fifth day so you kind of stretch him out as much as you can, and then go into an offseason hopefully healthy and his body can recover and go into next year and his body can be ready to handle the grind that is the 162 game season. So I know what it's looked like for Liberatore recently, and his last start wasn't bad. I'm just that's a guy that I'm not concerned with right now. I think this is just part of being, you know, stretched out and being pushed more than you've ever been pushed before. I would not be giving Andre Pallante just an assumed job coming out of spring training next year. I think he has to compete for his job. I am much more concerned with what we've seen from Pallante than I am with what we've seen from Liberatore. You mentioned Sonny Gray. Michael McGreevy's been really good, but when you think about who Michael McGreevy is, and this isn't a shot at him, I mean, he's a number three, number four starter kind of guy on a really good team, and that's good. Like, that's, I say that, and it sounds like I'm putting him down. I'm not. That's exactly what you want from a guy that you've developed yourself and has the profile that McGreevy has, and he has pitched quite well this year, and I think he can continue to do that. Quinn Matthews will definitely be in the mix in spring training next year, but he's a guy who's going to go into spring training in all likelihood having never pitched a big league inning. I think at some point next season we'll be talking about Liam Doyle, who they just drafted this year, but I don't think he's somebody who's going to be competing for a job in spring. So what that tells you is this team, either they're going to have to trade or sign, I think they're going to have to acquire something. And I don't want it to be a situation like they had with Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn a couple years last year, because those guys were making $11, $12 million a year. And that's when I talk about the value of Michael McGreevy, that's what I'm talking about, because he's one of those guys, and he's cost controlled, and he's come up through the system. So they're going to be active in this offseason. They're going to trade some guys. Maybe in one of these trades they're able to get a starting pitcher that can be competing for a job. But this is a really long answer to a short question, and I apologize. But when you really break things down for next year, there are huge question marks for the starting rotation.
Yeah, and you look at Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, it's like getting underwear on Christmas. I mean, you got to have it. You got to have a package wrapped up under the tree, but it's underwear. And that's kind of what you're talking about. So I want to shift, Matt, real quick.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you. So we saw the first look at our 2025 Mizzou Tigers on Thursday night. They defeated Parkway West 60-something to 7, I think it was. And, you know, this Pribula guy, the quarterback, Sam Horn, of course, goes down. But Bo Pribula looked good, both as a passer and as a runner. We don't really know about the defense yet because they played Parkway West. But what do you make of this program? What do you look at the possibilities for the Mizzou Tigers in the SEC this year?
Yeah, I think they're a team that can go out and be in the neighborhood of 9 or 10 wins again. And if things start to fall in the right direction, maybe we're looking at I think the absolute ceiling for this team is them kind of sneaking into the college football playoff, which would be amazing. And the floor for this team is still a really solid season with a nice bowl game. And I don't agree with the people that didn't vote them into the top 25 to open up the season. I think they are a top 25 team. We know that playing in the SEC is an absolute challenge, and you play really good teams every week. It's going to be fun to see them against Kansas next week. I think they beat Kansas, but that's their toughest game here in the non-conference. As far as their SEC schedule isn't terrible as it sits right now. The only teams that are currently in the top 25 that they're going to match up against are South Carolina, who looked really, really good yesterday, Alabama, who looked terrible against Florida State and lost to an unranked team, and then Oklahoma, who looked okay in the first week of the season. They were in the they were kind of in that same spot as Missouri was. They played Illinois State, so they weren't really tested. But without a doubt, I think, you know, this is a Missouri team that we are used to seeing them win 10 games or so every year, and I don't see why they can't do the same type of thing this season.
He is the sports fella, Matt Pauley, kind enough to join us here on the Chris and Amy Show with John and Mike, and you'll be with us later today as we have Cardinal baseball at 1:15. Sonny Gray takes them on. When Hancock and Kelly come back, we will visit about the president wants to do away with mail-in voting. It helped them. What's that all about? After this, Game Wax.